Well, Belfast is the most tolerant city in the UK. That's the finding from a new survey into attitudes towards foreigners across Europe. The Office for National Statistics report says people in our capital city beat Glasgow, London and Manchester when it comes to being friendly to foreigners. But is that your experience? After a year when Belfast hit the headlines when a local pastor called Islam satanic, campaigns to secure housing for locals only and more recently attacks on a synagogue, can we really claim most tolerant city status? Well, Irish News journalist John Manley joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
And commentator Alex Kane. Hello.
Morning, Lisa. Hi, John.
I'm okay.
Hi, Alex.
John, you first. Were you surprised when you heard the findings of this survey?
Well, yes, I have to say it was someone for your show alerted me to it. At least it was on the Daily Mail website, so I was immediately a bit sceptical about it, you know. Given what's happened in recent times, but it's an Office of National Statistics research, which means it's probably as accurate and robust as you're going to get. But I suppose, you know, it does come as a surprise given the recent high profile cases and sort of racism and xenophobia that you mentioned, you know. And let's not forget there was also a hoo-ha when Harland and Wolff went to employ foreign workers to, you know, to fill a skills gap that they had. It's still a bit alarming, though. You know, while we are comparatively tolerant compared with the cities surveyed in Britain, it's still, you know, statistics still point to one in four people being wary of what the Daily Mail describes as foreigners.
Well, Alex Kane, is it something that that in your experience you find Belfast to be one of the more tolerant cities or the most tolerant city?
Well, I think you have to divide it into two here, Lisa. I understand John's point, and I've had to cover, you know, the stories about the synagogues and the mosques and things like that. Certainly there is a headline story which tells you that in certain parts of Belfast and other parts of Northern Ireland, there are clearly elements and pockets where racism does appear to be a problem. But if you're talking about the general picture, if you're talking about just walking through Belfast, going into shops in Belfast, seeing the staff, just meeting people as you go across the province, my experience for years has been that we are actually a remarkably tolerant people, and even at a local level in terms of sectarianism. I mean, most people don't go up and go, oh, you're a Catholic or you're a Proud, and shout at each other. The reality is that they don't. We are actually, it seems maybe it's ironic given what's happening in our background, but we are, generally speaking, a remarkably tolerant society. We do spend a lot of time, particularly with people who don't come from the place, we do spend an awful lot of time actually showing the best of ourselves. I don't know whether there's some quirk in our, you know, psychology where we feel, oh, we have to prove to these people that we're not as bad as everyone says. But I think that's, in one of these occasions, because I'm normally very pessimistic on most things, but in this particular issue, while I acknowledge that there are problems that need to be dealt with, we are, generally speaking, I stick to that point, I think we are a tolerant society, far more so than people imagine.
The figures, though, from the PSNI, the most recent figures on racist crimes, they tell a different story, Alex Kane. They say in the last year that there's been a rise of 47% in racist crimes, which surely tells a very different story.
That's what I'm saying, Lisa. I think you have to divide this into two, and I think that's true. But you'll find that rise in racism crime, if you look at the, you know, where it's happening and how it's happening, it tends to be fairly, you know, limited areas, fairly restricted areas and things like that. And in fairness, and this is not a justification because it doesn't justify sectarianism or racism, it is true that in the wider issue of Northern Ireland, of how we see ourselves and the whole constitutional issue, it's clear, and part of it is the fault of the executive not incapable of getting its act together. We still have an us and them territorial approach, and it is true, particularly if you're talking about the racism, that tends not to be a casual racism, you know, people who get off a cruise ship or people who might be here on holiday or people who might be passing through and so on. It tends to be a very specific attack for a very specific purpose. And when I said earlier that's an issue which needs to be dealt with, it does, but because it's very difficult, you know, to have any form of integration, whether it's social or ethno, you know, when people, ordinary people from any aspect in Northern Ireland, look at the executive, look at the assembly, and see the division and finger pointing there. So I think we need to keep these two figures slightly together and think, just maybe in this occasion, say, actually, generally speaking, compared to other cities, actually we are more tolerant. And not just in racism. Look at Gay Pride, which 10 years ago would have had people on the streets complaining and protesting, your programme and newspapers. That's changing in little ways. Bit by bit, it's changing.
John Manley, do you think there is that there's some truth in what Alex Kane's saying there?
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. There is a large section of our society reflected in this survey, you know, 75%, that is tolerant, but there is a significant number of people, and that at times it sort of overlaps into the mainstream, as we've seen in recent weeks, that intolerance and that the toleration of intolerance, if you... to borrow a phrase. And notably, I think it's an interesting survey elsewhere that, you know, when it points to in Greece, for example, which is the most intolerant city in Europe, it seems, where just 26% of people thought foreigners were good for the city. That's probably maybe because of there's a huge influx of tourists there every year. And I think you find generally, the more northerly you go, the more tolerant people become. Although I have to say that Belfast is not the most tolerant city on this island, where 75% of people are tolerant. In Dublin, it's 80% of people. I may have had a much greater influx of people from overseas.
Would you be keen to separate the two, the issue of people's attitudes and then what the figures are showing, the PSNI figures, that racist crimes in the last year are up by 47%?
Well, you know, I'm not disputing the police statistics, but we have to be careful when looking at that sort of thing. It has to do with greater awareness of officers and how they classify crimes and different things. And maybe when you get more people coming from overseas and there's crimes committed against them, then you get more crimes classified as racist. I don't think we have a really bad, well, we just have a problem with intolerance generally. And as I say, it tends to overlap into the mainstream and is given a certain legitimacy.
Alex Kane, do you think that perhaps, you know, it's one of those things that when you're walking through the city and somebody stops you for a survey, you want to give the best impression of yourself as possible and you maybe don't tell the truth?
Oh, I'm laughing, Lisa, because that is, I mean, given my years in politics, we used to see opinion poll after opinion poll. You know, people say, oh, I would never vote DUP, I would never vote Sinn Féin. I'm middle of the road, I want peace and harmony. And on those figures, you would have expected the Lions to be the lead party, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So, yes, there is a tendency, and it's also the truth, how you phrase a question, you know, can steer an opinion poll one way or another. But that aside, Lisa, if we're talking about the broad issue, and I think John's got it right, I think, you know, in terms of tolerance, you know, I must admit, I know I've talked about, my daughter, my youngest daughter goes to a primary school in East Belfast where we have an awful lot, it's a mix, you know, of 28, I think about 12, 13 of the children come from East European backgrounds. There's a wonderful, for all the claims that people say that, oh, East Belfast, a hotbed of racism, my experience in that particular school and in other schools around the area, there's an awful lot of very quiet, ongoing mixing, social integration, people getting on together, sharing together, children going to each other's homes, you know, sharing each other's meals and cultures. And it's happening quietly. What we hear, and it's the nature of the media, what you hear is the headline story. What you hear is a brick will always, you know, trump, in news terms, a brick will always trump, you know, six kids sitting together from six different countries having tea together and the parents getting on terribly well. I just think, and I say, generally I am pessimistic about a lot of things, but I actually think there is something happening in Northern Ireland. It's very gentle. It's just under the radar, in the undergrowth at the moment. But we're actually, you know, forgetting all of what the politicians are failing to do in terms of building a shared society. I actually think in broad swathes of Northern Ireland, right across the province, we're actually doing it for ourselves. We're not that nasty, swivel-eyed, loonish, horrible, you know, people that people sometimes want to describe us as.
Well, let's hear from Frank in Antrim. Hello.
Good morning. How are you, dear?
I'm okay. How are you?
6 months ago, I emigrated to Saudi Arabia. And I would always have been a big, big fan of Northern Ireland. But looking back from Saudi Arabia, our politicians, they're the most ignorant, bigoted people I've ever come across. I'm looking back and when people ask me where I come from, I've started to say I come from Dublin. because some of the, like, Peter Robertson, what he did there, he offended 1 billion people in the Islamic world.
Well, Peter Robinson came out and has apologised for that whole episode. But in terms of this survey, Frank, in terms of this survey, are you surprised when you hear that Northern Ireland is tolerant, Belfast in particular?
Absolutely. I think that, I don't know who they surveyed. Like, I've lived here all my life. I'm home on holiday now. I'm 6 months away from it, and I'm looking back and I'm going, this is appalling. This is, you know, you're saying he apologized. The damage, if that ever went big time public in Saudi Arabia, I would have no doubt I would be, I work in the Saudi Arabian government. I would have no doubt I would be asked to leave. I have first hand knowledge. There was an absolute maverick councillor in the Netherlands who went off on one about Islam. I saw contracts being pulled from Dutch companies within days of that happening. Once you open your mouth and you offend Islam, that's it. You're a marked man. No amount of apologies can right that wrong. The most genteel, welcoming people I've ever met in the world. There's extremists on all sides, and I think Northern Ireland has their share. And it is very, very, very dangerous.
Well, do you think that the majority of people here are intolerant, Frank?
I think the most intolerant people that we have in this country are in Stormont. I worked here most of my life, and we all get on with it.
They would obviously argue with you on that point. And actually, when those racist attacks were at the forefront of the headlines, you know, there were the majority of politicians that I can remember were all very, very outspoken in condemning that. Norman's in Bangor. Hello, Norman.
Morning, Lisa. Lisa, the people in Northern Ireland are the most tolerant, unfriendliest people you could meet around the world. If you look at America, you look at Manchester, London, I would rather walk up the Falls Road at night or the Shankill before I'd walk through around these cities. Women in America are going shopping with rifles over their shoulders. You don't see that in Belfast or any other part of Northern Ireland. They're the nicest people that you'd meet, the Northern Irish people, and the most generous people you would meet. And it happened all around the world in different countries. And in parts of America, you can't even go out through your door at night in case you'd be shot dead.
But do you think, Norman, when you think of the people who've come here and in the last 6 months or so, those people who were victims of campaigns like Locals Only, that sort of thing, do you think they think that people in Belfast are the most tolerant?
Lisa, it's only a small minority. You're talking a small minority of people who are intolerant, and you will find that anywhere around the world and any city around the world. I've had friends who have been away for 20-odd years and come back from New Zealand on holiday, and they thought this place was absolutely magnificent. They travelled all around Northern Ireland with me. They went up the Falls, up the Shankill, and there was never any problem, Lisa. They couldn't load this place quick enough. So the kind of people, how generous and how friendly they were.
Okay, Norman, thank you. Community worker Jim Wilson's on the line. Hello.
Good morning, Lisa. Well, I agree with everything that Norman said there, but, you know, I listened to Sammy Wilson the other day with Stephen, and he said something in reference to good news stories, and the media didn't like good news stories. Your opening comments to that statement about Northern Ireland being the most friendly face, most welcoming face. Your comments were, tell that to the people who've had racist attacks. Why could it not have been something positive that you said?
What the victims of the racist attacks
yes,
will think of that.
Absolutely, but there's no, you know, there's people working on the ground all over areas of Belfast who are working constantly to try and bring us down. When I was a kid, and I lived in the Woodstock Road years ago, I can't remember seeing black people and ethnic and the minorities living in this country, and there was very, very little of it, you know. And over the years, people have came here and lived here, and most of them have got good lives and good. I mean, and it's a very, 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 as Norman said, a very small minority of what's going on here. that is racist attacks and that. But it's being sometimes blurred out of proportion by the media. It's not right.
But the reality is, Jim Wilson, is that racist attacks are up by 47% in the last year. 47%.
Yes, but when you, if you count that in the round where some of them are with their own disputes within their own community, it does not add up to that, you know. So you need to be careful about how you deal with figures.
But the PSNI have classed these crimes as racist crimes, and they have risen by 47% in the last year.
I've spoken to the PSNI about some racist attacks in East Belfast here that weren't racist attacks. So let's get some of those things cleared up. But what I'm saying, Lisa, I'm not on about the attacks. I'm on about the fact that this is one of the most welcoming countries in Britain and Europe. Let's be positive about that. Let's praise it. Let's sing it. And instead of running it down and constantly, I mean, let's see good news stories. Let them be good news stories. And let's not try and rattle them out for something that they're not. Because there's racism in every country in the world. There's sectarianism in a lot of countries throughout the world. So at the end of the day, if people come and say to us that we're well up the league there of being tolerant people, then let's accept that and let's turn around and try and make it even more tolerant for people who live here, and especially all the racist attacks that's happening. People work to try and stop that. And that's the point of making. Journalism needs
But
to
all we're doing, Jim, all we're doing is asking the question. When you have a situation where you have a survey that says something on the one hand, that we're very tolerant, and then on the other hand, you have the stories that we've seen over the last few months and those PSNI figures. So you have to ask the question. Yeah.
Well, then, why did you compare it? Why did you sit down as journalists and do some explorative stuff as journalists and go and find out what it's like in Manchester, what it's like in London, what it's like in Liverpool, what it's like in Glasgow, and then let's compare them to Northern Ireland, and then you'll get the figures, basically, what you were from as a perspective of your own, instead of turning around and constantly thinking because there's one or two attacks in East Belfast. East Belfast was singled out there for a while. When there was more attacks in North Belfast, could you explain that to me? There was more attacks in North.
I'm not aware of East Belfast. I'm not aware, Jim Wilson, of East Belfast being singled out at all.
I can tell you it was because it was on your programme. It was on this programme, the Stephen Nolan show was on, constantly about the attacks in East Belfast. And one of the MLAs had to point out to journalists who didn't go out and do the work and find out that there was more attacks in North Belfast than what there was in East Belfast.
Okay.
So why, you know, and that's the point I'm making.
Okay, Jim. Point well made. Thank you. Back to Alex Kay. And then you're saying that you're feeling optimistic when you're normally pessimistic.
Yes, I am, Lisa, because I think, oddly, Jim mentioned the point there about the, about people coming. I think Norman made the same point about, you know, how people have viewed. I mean, I got involved in politics and sort of journalism back in it was the late 1970s. And over that 30 years, particularly leading up to the ceasefires and the Good Friday Agreement, I got to know an awful lot of journalists, you know, not only UK journalists, but American, French, Dutch, you know, Japanese, Chinese, who came here, covered the trouble. And the one thing they all had in common was when you asked them about Northern Ireland, they all said, you know, when you're not reporting, you know, the IRA and the UVF or whatever it is, when you're not reporting the constant inability to actually get the two sides to agree. And away from that, they loved Northern Ireland. They loved the city. And I've met journalists who told me, I think Norman may have made the point, they felt safer walking in parts of Belfast, in fact, in most parts of Belfast, than they ever did walking in other major cities around the world, you know, in the same period, which weren't supposedly going through conflict. And I've met policemen. I remember a very senior police officer coming over here about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was invited, and I was giving them a general talk about politics with a number of police. And he said to me, actually, that Alex, apart from Manchester, Leeds, Glasgow and so on, we wouldn't send the police in. We wouldn't send a patrol on foot into housing estates, into certain areas and so on. And he said, you know, looking at Belfast, you know, looking at how people treat each other as you just watch them walking up and down the street in shops, in cafes and restaurants, he said there is actually a remarkable level of tolerance here, which is, for all sorts of reasons, never reported. And it's never reported because the nature of the media is you deal with the big ticket political issues rather than what's happening on the ground. So I said briefly what I meant in reference to what Jim was saying, you know, about East Belfast. I live in East Belfast. I, you know, not in one of the, everyone says, oh, leafy ivory tower. I don't. I live in just a normal part of East Belfast, which I love, absolutely adore the area. And there is at all levels, and it's never reported, and I can understand why. It's a perfectly normal society where people from maybe 20, 30 countries, not only Commonwealth countries, India, I've met people from Bangladesh, They're getting on perfectly well. There's no headlines to it. They're just getting on with their lives at the schools, the people working in the shops. It's happening, Lisa. And say it's unusual for me to be optimistic, but on this...
It's very unusual. I think we're all in shock.
Yeah, I am. I have, actually, it's one of those things when I say, you know, it's that tolerance, it's that decent humanity which does exist in an awful lot of people in Northern Ireland. And whoever made the point, you know, that where you see some of the, you know, the nasty stuff, it's the political. I think in this issue, I think the politicians and the political parties are actually way behind what's happening on the ground. I think that's why so many people are not voting. It's because what they hear in the politics doesn't represent what's happening in their own lives.
John Manley, I hear you trying to come in there.
Yeah. Sorry, John.
Is your glass half full today as well?
Oh, no, no. Yes, and I believe with the right political leadership that people would come to realise the benefits of welcoming people from overseas. You know, the world history is full of, you know, it's a history of migration. We, even the population of Ireland is made up of several, you know, different sort of migratory waves, whether it be the Celts in ancient times, or the Scottish coming, you know, in the 17th century. And you know, and then more recently, our health service has been staffed by Asian doctors, and even our agri-food industry is staffed by people from overseas. You know, and we need to be told about the benefits of this to our society and the benefits of diversity, and that needs to come from the top in many ways.
And do you think there's been a failure to highlight that and promote it?
Certainly, recent headlines would indicate that. Yeah.
Okay, just before we let you both go, I don't know if you saw the story, but the police have revealed that young people going skinny dipping could end up with a criminal record and placed on the sex offenders register. Alex Kane, is that an overreaction?
Part of me, instinctively, it is, yes. But yeah, as a dad, you know, a son who's got a 4.5-year-old and things like that, you know, it's one of those issues. Every parent's had it when the child starts pointing at somebody who's naked and asking about various bits of the body. Yeah, I think a modicum of dignity. I'm not saying, you know, a lot of clothes, but, you know, just keep top and bottom on is probably a good idea, generally speaking.
Joe Manley?
Yeah, well, it's about striking the right balance. I have to say I've been guilty of skinny dipping in the past.
Horrible thought.
Maybe not so much in such a public place as the story you're alluding to.
I hope it was a misspent youth.
A bit of discretion, yeah.
Was it a misspent youth?
It certainly was.
It was last week, John, be honest.
Well, the police in their statement, they said that... That following on from two males that had been reported for indecent exposure, as they thought it was a good idea to take all their clothes off and go for a swim. Not a good idea. We are treating this kind of behaviour extremely seriously and will be continuing to take action against anyone who decides to do the same. There are young children in these areas too. You could end up with a criminal record and placed on the sex offender register. Please enjoy the weather, but be sensible. Is that essentially it, Alex Kane?
Well, some people who like skinny dipping might call that naked discrimination. I don't know.
Tom Manley?
Yeah. Well, maybe we need to look at if they're serious about wanting, you know, we don't rarely get the opportunity for anyone to go swimming, never mind swimming in the nip. So, well, maybe we need to think about accommodating them. I was talking to someone yesterday, they tell me it's in parts of County Limerick, I think, in the west of Ireland, it's actually common for people to go swimming naked.